Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. God is good and all the time. So there's this guy that's been coming to Barker's Church and he's been listening to the series on family and he's been applying it. He's being a doer of the word and not only a hearer of the word. So he takes to heart the teachings about providing for your family and looking after your wife and blessing her and buying her gifts. So the 1 year for his anniversary, he decides to buy his wife a beautiful epitaph for a tombstone one day when she passes, to my loving wife and what a wonderful woman she was, and she puts it there. It gives it to the as a gift. I mean, it's preparation for the funeral, you know. It's funerals come at unexpected times and people don't always make provision. So next year comes along and she's expecting a gift because her husband is a changed man, and she gets nothing. And she says to him, but hey love, you know what happened? I didn't get a gift this year. He says, what's the matter with you, woman? You haven't used the one from last year. We're continuing with our series on family. I trust that there's been some interesting conversations and thoughts going through people's minds, especially since we discussed the thing about disciplining your children, isn't it? Just to recap, that's what we spoke about. We looked at the biblical ways of doing it, and there's a godly way of doing it. Physical chastisement is part and parcel of God's word. I understand that some people have a difference of opinion concerning that, but I respectfully submit to you, my brother, my sister, you've got to decide what you're going to hold with higher regard in your life, the word of God or your opinion. And I'll leave it at that. Our theme scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, and it says, but there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have as your sons and daughters to be able to get around your word like this. Here, ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend nie. Dis 'n voorreg wat ons het. Ons maak dan die tyd om ons gedagtes toe te wy aan die dinge van die Here van vanoggend. Here, u teenwoordigheid in ons midde is dit waarna ons op soek is vanoggend. Nie 'n pastoor se preek nie of 'n 7-punt sermon of enigiets van die aard. Because Lord, what can I say that can change people's lives? Nothing, but one word from you can change us forever. So Holy Spirit, would you just captivate our hearts and our minds now as we wait on you and allow you to minister the truth of your word into our lives. Lord, we want to go home today, changed men and women of God. Nie net nog 'n Sondag agter die blad nie of my Christelike diens is gedoen, but we want to be changed every time we get together. And we thank you for that. Would you just bless each person here today, those watching online, Lord God, that you impact our lives with the power of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So our theme is family, and the subtitle for this week's message is Family and Values of the Godly Family. Values of the Godly Family. So we're going to look at what it is to set values. Now, you know, you can say standards, but I don't really want it to be a standard. It's a value is something that you hold dear. It's something by which you live by. It's something that becomes a mantra for you in your life and something that you apply to your life, you know. You see, folks, here's the challenge. You and I can believe the same thing, but if we have differing values, we're always going to clash. Lennon and I might both believe in Jesus, but if he has a value that being punctual is important, and I have this casual attitude, ah, yeah, you know, 10, 15 minutes late, what does it really matter? Then that's going to clash with him, because he has a value that being punctual, honor those who are on time, respect somebody else's time, for example. And there we can go down a whole long list of what values there may or may not be. But it's important to establish family values in our home. This morning is most certainly not an exhaustive look at everything that can be considered a value in a family, but it's just a handful to get us started down this path that we're going to go on. Is that okay with you this morning? All right. As always, when it comes to establishing family values, the Word of God must be our first and final authority. The family values that you are going to establish, is it going to be traditions that have been handed down from generation to generation based on what your forefathers or your grandparents or your parents' parents, their great parents thought? Or is it going to be biblical standards? You see, are we going to hold the traditions of our families tighter than we hold the Word of God? The Bible teaches that there's one thing that can render the Word of God powerless. You know what that is? The traditions of men. Jesus teaches about it. He says you hold on to your traditions, and the traditions render the Word of God ineffective in your life. So ons moet baie versigtig wees deur te sê, hierdie is ons familiewaardes, dis die waardes van die Delpech gesin. Well, are those godly standards? So before we even start off out of the starting blocks this morning, we need to understand that the values that we need to set need to be biblical standards. Can I get a hearty amen this morning? So it needs to be biblical standards, must have the first and final authority in our life. The first value that we want to look at is trust. Trust. You might say faith, but trust. You know, people have said this to me. I said to somebody, just trust me. They said, no, I trust no man, I trust God only. I said, okay, but you met me here when I said we're going to meet you. I said, that means you trusted me. I said, we're going to meet each other at so-and-so, this time, this place, and you were there. Why? Because you trusted what I said. Trust is one of the important values to have in a family. It's important to have trust. It's critical, especially between parent and child. Why did we say last week, is it so important for children to honor the parents in the home? What does the parent represent in the home? Speak to me, church. The parent represents what in the home? Don't be shy. God, representatives of what? God's what? Representatives of God's leadership and authority in the home is the parents, especially the dad. Remember we said that every parenting instruction in Scripture is given to the father and not to the mother? Think about that, gents. Every parenting instruction is given to the fathers and not the mothers. I had the privilege of spending time with family yesterday that we don't often get to spend time together. It was wonderful to see the father feeding the three-month-old baby. No, not breastfeeding. With a bottle. With a bottle. He was sharing with us how he goes to work and they're asking him, how's the child affecting your life or whatever? And he explained how they... I get up, you know, every 2.5 hours, and they say, but like, why are you doing that? What's your wife do? He says, no, I get up, and I am part of raising my child. And I said, oh, young man, I want to honor you for doing that, because you're being a godly father as you're helping raise that child. Not when you've watched the game till late at night, and it's gone into extra time, and whatever, and then the kid screams, well, feed me, and you say, throw a sword, you can take. No, the man takes the leadership. So trust is important between the parents and the children. Why is that? Well, here's the deal. If a child feels a parent who can be seen can't be trusted, the child's going to battle believing God who can't be seen. Because if my mommy or my daddy can't be trusted, how can I trust God that I can't see? Kan die hande die werke van sy hande sien, but I can't see God. So a child needs to know. It needs to be able to trust that parent. Isn't it incredible when a child is at a certain age, the child can stand on wherever and you say, spring, and he can spring. It takes a leap of faith, believing that my mommy or my daddy is going to catch me like that. No. The child trusts the parent. Child needs to trust the parent when it comes to spiritual matters and moral issues. Can I trust mommy and daddy by doing this? And we said last week that a child will do what it sees, not necessarily what it hears or it's told. So a child needs to trust the parent who it can see. Because if it can't trust the parent who it can see, it will battle to trust God who the child cannot see. Here's a gem that you can hold on to. A child doesn't understand the difference between an unkept promise and a lie. Think about that for a moment. Don't raise your hand now. But is there something that you've said to your child that you're going to do? And 1 week has passed, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, a year, and you haven't done it? You know what's happened, my brother, my sister? I respectfully submit to you that your trust level is diminished in the eyes of your child. Because mommy of papi het hulle woord nie behou nie. Jy kan nie 'n ja broer wees nie. Ja broer, ons sal dit doen. Ja broer, ons sal dat doen. And you don't do it. A child doesn't know the difference between an unkept promise and a lie. God is a God of His word. He honors His word. As representatives of the kingdom, we need to honor our word, even if it leads to our own discomfort. The scripture says, speaks about holding and being true to your word, even if it is inconvenient for you. We need to be men and women of our word. If you say you're going to be there, pitch up for goodness sake and be there. If you say you're going to do this, you're going to bring that, then do it for goodness sake. In Christian circles, we've learned this. When we say, can we see a show of hands, who are going to be there? Who's going to be there? 50 people put up their hands. We cater for 55 unexpected surprises and 20 people pitch. And the church carries the costs. So ons het geleer. You put up your hand, you pay. You buy the ticket first. Everybody else, in God we trust, everybody else pays cash. Thank you very much. Let's move right along. Parents, it's important for you to keep your word. Keep your word. That holiday that you promised or whatever it is, or that phone when they, if they reach a certain score or percentage on their report card, whatever it is, honor your word. Parents should never say they're going to do something and then not follow through with it. It's perceived as a lie. Proverbs 25 and verse 14. A person who promises a gift but doesn't give it is like clouds and wind that bring no rain. I promise you, my child, I'm going to do this. Well, promises can be broken. Just give your word and don't go back on it. Let your word be your bond. There's a group, I forget the name of the group, it's predominantly a Jewish-based organization, one of the richest organizations in the world that deals with gold and diamonds, not smuggling or legally above board. You know how they do business? On a handshake. No written contracts, because they'd rather die than not uphold their word to each other. Folks, we're talking billions of dollars in transactions. On a handshake, I give you my word. First time I experienced that, Colette and I, we do house hunting for our first home. Go see the place. And I put in an offer. An agent is with us. I put in an offer. And the guy says, no, 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 no. I think, oh, there we go. And he says, no, this is, I worked out, this is what I, and he says, this is all I want. And it turns out to be several thousand rands less than what I offered. And it was great. And we realized that this is our harvest because we'd sown lots of seed. There was seed in the ground. And long story short, we had the agents there. And in those days, you could register property in the name of a trust. And when you sell, you do not pay transfer costs. And that way you save a bit of tax. And it was like that. It was registered as a CC, a company, and the only asset was this property. And we shook hands on the agreement or whatever, and then we go home. Later that night, we get a call from the... the house was listed at three prices. We paid 200 and something and it was listed in another place for 375,000 rand. In those days, it was a huge amount of money for a house. Today, I don't know if you can get a double garage for that, but anyway. We get a call from the owner saying he just wants to let us know the estate agent has brought a cash buyer that's going to give the advertised price of 375,000 rand. I said, well, you know, okay, that's fine. I understand business is business. I offered you 260. You gave it to me for 255. You stand the chance of earning 120-something thousand rand more, whatever. And, you know, I appreciate you letting me know. You know, let the house go. He said, no, 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 young man. His name's Mr. John Reynolds. Gone to be with the Lord now. He says, you don't understand. I'm just letting you know that the house is yours. I said, but I don't understand. The estate agent has brought you a cash buyer. He says, no, 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 young man. I gave you my word and we shook hands. The house is yours. I just started crying on the phone. I realized, Lord, this is a harvest because of what we had sown. But also, this is a man who's prepared to keep his word and willing to write off 125,000 South African rand or whatever the difference was. And the estate agent still said, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, you can't do this. He says, listen, you can do what you want. It's not the first house I've bought or sold. This is my property. It's registered CCI, Axkild, Jo Nux. So, and after the agent's trying to get out of it, didn't want another thing. He said, you know what, you get teruggemaakt, man. Your dishonesty and the way you were, just, we don't want nothing to do with you. And we conducted the transaction between ourselves, Mr. John and Martha Reynolds, and us in our first home. It just blew me away about what it means about keeping your word. So if you give your word to somebody that you're going to do something or whatever, and then something that you'd like, that interests you more, that you'd rather do, but say, I can't make it, or do you keep your word? Now, let's be realistic. Soms gebeur dinge wat heeltemal buite jou beheer is. Dit is dan so, nee. But eventually, your track record will start to show. People will know, yeah, if you say good morning, they're going to go outside and first see if the sun is shining before they take what you say to heart. Keep your word. Honor your word. Be a man or woman of your word. Let your word be your bond. Jesus says this, so don't make promises. Just keep your word and honor it. Matthew 5 and verse 37, he says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I swear, I put my hand on the Bible. So many people put their hand on the Bible, they don't know in a jack what's going on the inside of the Bible because of the lesson nooit nie. I swear on my mother's grave. What's that going to do? She's pushing up daisies as it is, man. She's worm food. She can help you keep your word. Come on, man. Are you learning something this morning, church? So when it comes to family values, honor your word. That will build trust in your children. Parents, don't make idle threats like this. If I get up from here, and you never get up from there, om ek kan te terug. As mama hier opstaan, of as papa, if I get up from here, and all you do, you keep telling your kid, if I get up, the kid knows you're never going to get up. You're never going to get up. You're going to also sit and make idle, empty threats. Don't do that. You tell the child once, they're disobedient. Learn the consequences. Keep a short account when it comes to these kind of things. You can be gracious. We say, 5 minutes is grace, 10 minutes is late. Give the kid first warning, second warning. After that, stop making idle threats. Your trust level is going down in the eyes of that child. Okay, so don't make empty promises like, if daddy gets up from here, well, just let the whatever do the talking. We just spoke last week about the slipper, the rod, and some other device which you shouldn't use to discipline your children. This you can apply to your life, but also to parenting and setting values in the home. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Ek gaan dit doen, Here. Well, if you haven't done it, what the Lord has said, it is disobedience. You're walking in disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedient. Another scripture teaches us that God loves obedience. It's better than sacrifices. Okay. The next thing. As the husband is head of the home, he must be very careful as to what he allows to take place and happen under his roof. The home should be a sanctuary for the things of God. The woman turns the house into a home. The husband, as the prophet, priest, and king, turns that place into a sanctuary for the things of God. We spoke last week, and I think the week before, about the role of prophet, priest, and king that the man has to play. So what should be allowed in the home? In terms of values and things that we hold dear, what should we be allowed in the home in terms of the music we listen to, the literature that we read, the programs that we watch, the websites that are accessible by children, the things that we allow on their phones? And today, man, evil is encroaching into our lives all over people. We need to guard and protect the precious, precious minds of our children. Now, I'm not saying... And, you know, every now and again this comes up in my spirit. So, Mozzie, who the hell do you think you are to talk about parenting? You don't even have kids, man. You just got dogs, a dog left. You don't have kids. Well, neither did Paul, but God used him to teach about parenting. So, I just pray that God uses me in whatever way possible this morning, if that's okay with you. Yeah, we got to you shouldn't wrap your children up in a cocoon to protect them from the things of the world. Let them know what is out there and instill godly values in them so that you know that when you turn your back, you can trust your kid. You can trust your kid. I remember the first time my dad entrusted me with something major. I didn't want to do anything wrong, not because I was afraid of the consequences, but because I didn't want to disappoint him. And he trusted me, and I didn't want to disappoint him. Children, teenagers here today, youngsters watching, can your folks trust you? If you say, I'm going to Susan's house for a sleepover, or you didn't hit the jaw and club like you've never clubbed before, will they find you at Susan's place? What, does Susan exist? I remember I served the devil in other ways besides drug abuse and alcohol, etc. I was a designated driver because I never used to dope. I used to make the biggest trouble stone cold sober. All my buddies had to have courage in a can and karate water and galopsop before they did anything. I did it stone cold sober. I was the designated driver. My friends' parents wouldn't trust their own kids with the cars. If Mozzie's driving, it's okay. He has the keys. Otherwise, ye kom in aba my karni. Because they knew they could trust me. Why? God alone knows. We ons het nonsense aangejaag julle. But can you be trusted? As a child, can your parents trust you when you say you're going to do X, Y, or do you have to lie in their faces? I remember we used, just the tone of voice would change something, you know. My friend and I, we used to do this. His Graham would ask him, did you do so-and-so? And he'd say, no, Graham, no, I didn't do it. Technically, he told the truth. But the tone gave it the impression, of course he's done it, man. I asked him to. No, I didn't do it. He told the truth. Yes, we thought we were clever, ne? Hey, that little bit of deception crept into our hearts. Messed us up. Messed us up, ladies and gentlemen. We thought we were clever, but the devil had us exactly where he wanted us. So, right, so what can you allow under your roof as a parent? Let these two verses be our guide. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Not that final thing. This one. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That categorizes. If what you are contemplating are lying in your home, does it fall under this category? Is hierdie 'n omskryf woord wat toepaslik is by dit wat jy toelaat in jou huis? True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. There's three key words there. There's learned, there's heard, and there is saw. So to learn, there must be teaching. You've got to teach your children. There must be telling. If you're to hear anything, tell your kid about the things of God. And saw. They must see the example lived out in your life. Are you still with me, church? Okay. If boyfriends or girlfriends sleep over, no sharing of rooms. Yeah, but they got separate mattresses. Really? You think a matras gaan die urgings in daai man se rooi bloed keer? Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. You know, gentlemen, God has not given us the ability to be able to withstand sexual temptation. He's not given you the ability. All other sin, the Bible says, resist. When it comes to sexual temptation, you know what the Bible says? Run. Laugh, ladies, it's true. We don't have it in us to resist sexual temptation. Ons kan nie. The Bible says run. Flee sexual immorality. Get away from it. Move. I don't know how anointed you think you are. You kan nie. We don't have that. We're not wired like that. Okay, So when boyfriends or girlfriends sleep over, no sharing a room. He can sleep outside the garage. She sleeps safely in her room, locked up in the house with the alarm system on. Come on, parents. Come on. Most definitely no sex before marriage. Most definitely. Why? Samuel, ons breek nie eg breek ons pleeg nie eg breek nie because ons is nie getroud nie. Well, I don't know what the words are in Afrikaans, but in the English Bible it's fornication. Fornication is sex between people when they're not married. It's fornication. The Bible doesn't call it, you know, a modern living arrangement. The Bible calls it sin. Did you get that? Sin. That's what it is. Adultery is when one of the parties are married. So there's the difference. There's the difference. Okay. So that's one of the standards. You don't allow that. And most certainly, if you're the head of a home, you don't allow people to shack up under your roof to live together. Yeah, well, it's kan dit nie bekostig nie. Okay. Where did you live before you decided you want to do it under one roof? Huh? I'm just saying. I'm asking for a friend. What did you do before you decided to live together? Eveskiller, can you know? You can't do that. You cannot do that. We're going to see why. But yeah, but why, Mozzie? I've got my room. He's got the room. And no, that maak nie saak nie. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Okay. Definitely no living together. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. So, what is the natural train of thought when a man and woman live together? You think that they're physically intimate, correct? Can anybody say that people don't think that? So they see Christians living together. What's the natural inference there? The Bible says, don't let it even be named amongst you. It mustn't even be mentioned amongst you. Why? Because, my brother, my sister, you're supposed to be a representative and an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Not 2021. Never said Afrika kastig. Is this making sense? That's why. That's why God, He didn't put these things in place to spoil our fun. God made physical intimacy lekker. And like three men say amen. Guys, come see me afterwards. Nee, rarig. Nee, yo. He made it enjoyable, but there's consequences. That's why He put this here, to protect us, to guard us against the enemy. So there must be no, let it not even be named among you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, in the King James, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It mustn't even look like you're doing anything unscriptural. It mustn't even look like it. That's the scriptural principle here, ladies and gentlemen. No, well, you know, we can't afford it. And, you know, God understands, no. I'm just the messenger this morning. Are you okay with that? All right. If children want to sleep over at friends for the first time, make the point, mommy, daddy, to go and visit those people. Look how they live. Look at how they live. Wat gaan aan daar so by die huis? Is die huis molest? Is het nacht daar so? Is it a knock shop, a brothel, a bordel? Is it a front for a weapon smuggling operation? What is it? Check it out. You're sending your precious offspring there to go and sleep. Meet the parents face to face. Meet the man, meet the mother. Check them out. Build a trust relationship before you send your kids off into the wild, blue yonder, wherever it may be. Check this out. It's important. Visit the home. Why? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Slechte geselskap bederf goeie sedes. Bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Why is it so important to be careful what we allow inside our homes? Here's the deal. Now, this is not Ghostbuster stuff. This is just real. Because before anything ever manifests in the spirit, in the physical realm, it has to be a reality in the spiritual realm. As it goes in the natural, so it goes in the spiritual. Spiritual forces need a physical earthly tent or vessel to be able to operate and to manifest and to do things. That's just the spiritual laws, the way things, how they are. So, If there's somebody that's living with compromise in their lives and allowing themselves to be under the influence of a spirit, and you allow them into your home, under your roof, which you're supposed to preside over as the prophet, priest, and king, and you allow that person in your home, guess what? That spirit starts affecting the spiritual climate and atmosphere in your home. Your children, your wife, your family. It starts affecting them. So yes, that person that's under the influence, I'm not saying they're possessed, but they might be harassed and oppressed by a demon. You allow them into your home, and that spirit, that chocho, has right of access to your children, your wife, and you allow it. Men, what are we allowing to take place under our home? Ja, maar mosie, jy verstaan nie, hulle is my kinders. Ja, maar ons ook God se skepping. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility, my brother, my sister, to safeguard and to be careful of what happens under your roof. That is why. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. When a person under demonic influence is allowed in a home, that home is under demonic influence too. Shut every door in the devil's face. Leave no room for the devil. Ephesians 4 and verse 27 says that. So, as we start to land this thing, what then should be godly values? We're going to look at three passages of Scripture. I'm just going to read through them. We're not going to unpack it and study it for the sake of time. We'll do that another time. But these are not, they're not the only three. Proverbs says a lot about values. But these three passages of Scripture, is what the Lord has laid on my heart for us to share this morning in terms of setting values in the home. Remember, it's not standards or rules. Rules sounds very legalistic. These are values. These are things that we hold dear. Remember, last week we spoke about when you discipline the child, when you give him the spanks or whatever, you say, I'm not hitting you because you broke the glass. The glass is replaceable. I'm hitting you because the trust relationship that there must be between us has been broken and you've been disobedient. That's why I'm spanking you. Mommy, daddy loves you. Cray for you and you give them a hug afterwards. Okay. Restore that relationship. Don't part with the bad vibes of just having received the smack and pass separate ways. Restore that connection, that love, that tenderness, that nurturing, that caring, that fatherhood. In the situation after you've chastised the child scripturally. Okay, these three passages. The first one is Matthew 5, verse 3 to 16. God, this is Jesus speaking the Beatitudes, known as the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, spiritually poor. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You're the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The theme for this upcoming faith rally this coming weekend is Let Your Light Shine. We're going to celebrate God's word around that theme this weekend at the faith rally. Second passage of Scripture is the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks about spiritual gifts and the role that they play in the body. And 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about how love is more important than all of those gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul speaks about how these gifts can be administered to each other in the body for the uplifting of the body. But 1 Corinthians 11, these first 8 verses of the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 8. If I speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I stand here and preach like the angel Gabriel and die mense kry goosebumps, ooh, pastoor, dit was 'n wonderlike preek. But I don't have love in my heart. A clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and if I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. It's the first fruit of love is patience. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way, is not irritable, and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. I love that. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, and is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Wow. Verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages, and especially knowledge, will become useless. What a statement. But love will last forever. The third passage, Galatians 5, verse 16 to 23. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you allow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, we looked at that, fornication, adultery, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, not go to heaven. Everyone living that sort of life. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. As the deep end comes up and we wrap this, I'd like us to pray together. Pray that God helps us to instill these godly families, godly values in our families, that we can nurture and care for our children and ensure a good, solid, strong Christian generation to follow up next. To recap what we discussed today, looking at family values as trust, keeping your word, being men and women of our word, and then being careful as to what we allow under our homes and in our homes as parents. And then these three passages of Scripture determine the values that we allow amongst each other. Let's pray together. Father, we're not here to come under the condemnation of the devil. We are to be changed under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction means to change the way you think, to readjust the system or pattern that you have in your life. Conviction means to be convinced of something. And as the Holy Spirit convinces us, as He convicts us as parents today, help us, Lord, to instill these godly values in our own lives and in the lives of our children. And if we haven't done so, If you've not done so, Mommy, Daddy, you're at the right place this morning. Simple act of saying, God, I'm sorry. I repent, Lord. This morning I see the error of my ways, and I know there's grace sufficient to forgive me of this. And I ask that you forgive me of this, Lord. I'm not wanting to be a Bible puncher in my home, but somebody that lives out godly values for my children to see and to live by. Lord, I pray for great wisdom and an impartation of anointing of your Spirit on every mommy and daddy that hears this. I pray further, Holy Ghost, that you help us to apply this in our lives. I pray for the children that are going to sit under godly leadership and perhaps struggle under ungodly parenting in their homes, that they be gracious and understanding with their parents as we navigate these difficulties together as families. Thank you, Lord, that you help us install these values in our lives, that we can grow as godly families in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Can we do that breakthrough song again, if that's okay with you guys? We're going to do that breakthrough song, and then we're going to pray the final prayer of blessing over each other as we go this morning. Bless you guys. Let's worship the Lord together.